I'm going to give you just a couple thoughts tonight. It's just sort of how God works in a life message. Genesis chapter 39. Why don't we all stand together? And we're going to read a few verses here tonight. I'm going to fly through the first 3 points, okay? We're going to fly through the first 3 points. And then I want you to think, and we need to think like this all the time, but about God's, you hear that, right, Brother Ezekiel? There's a crackling. I don't know what it is. And I'm going to quit complaining. I've complained about the PA guys. I've complained about the ushers. Did I complain about you, Charlie? Not yet. I'll do that later. How many here are easily distracted? I am telling you, I'm so easily distracted. Anything that goes wrong, I just, especially when I'm preaching. So you guys, you ushers, don't distract me. But that's okay. But a life message we mentioned last week is just allowing God. Listen, there's tonight, you came here tonight, and there's some folks, you're in a cloud. You're in a cloud. I don't know who you are. I mean, I know who you are, but I don't know who's in a cloud tonight. There's people that are very discouraged. There's financial problems in here tonight. There's physical problems. By the way, Brother Charlie's mom went in to get a stent, was today, and they come to find out that the artery was clogged how much at first? It was 70%, and now it's what? 30%. And they said, what, between 1% and 3% people, your arteries don't get declogged like that real fast. So they didn't put the stent in, and that's good for her. I bet that's good for her faith, too. She's a new Christian, and so that's good. But there's heartbreak. Here's the thing. God, as we look at the Scriptures, by the way, we talk about a life message. What's a life message? Job is a life message. God doing something in his life, and now we can learn from it. Okay? We're going to look at Joseph a little bit tonight. And so look at Genesis chapter 39. Look at verse number 1. We're real familiar if you've been a Christian for a while. I love the story of Joseph. And Genesis 39 and verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, of course, his brothers, sold him into, he had the vision, you know, the dreams, and then his brothers got jealous, and then they sold him into slavery. This was all God's plan. And then they sold him, and now he's going down to Egypt. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Okay? He's a slave, but the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Okay? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And as his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Remember, he's sold as a slave. Okay? And here he is, he's in the house of Potiphar, but the unsaved guy saw that God's hand was on him. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does your unsaved boss see the hand of God in your life? By the way, the Christians ought to be the best employees. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. Christians ought to be the best employees. So here he is, this unsaved Egyptian man sees the hand of God on Joseph, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Of course, everything he did was in his home, and he just saw, wow, this guy is just unbelievable. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. By the way, you might want to circle that word, served him. He served him. He had a servant spirit, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Father, tonight, we're not going to be here very long, but as we open your word and we try to have the mind of God from your word in regards to a life message, you working in our life so that we could point our finger up, our hand up, and direct people to a powerful, and as we read on Sunday night, a strong God. And Lord, help us, whether we're in a trial, maybe we're on a mountaintop tonight, help us do all that we can to understand what a life message is for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to go through. We're not going to look at all the scripture. Troy, did you get your certificate? There you are. Where are you? Right there. You want to go give this to Troy? I just saw him. Troy, why don't you raise your hand, Troy? Troy's new, pretty new, very faithful in our church, growing in the Lord. And he's our church photographer. You say, what does that mean? He's always taking pictures. And so he's been a blessing. A life message, as I mentioned on Sunday night, a life message is us as God's people relying on God to show himself strong in every area of life. Thus, we then can let others know how great of a God that we have, and we sure have a great God tonight. Amen? Once we've allowed the Lord to show himself strong in our life by relying on him, we then have a life message to help others to get close to God and to bring others to Christ. The Lord desires for all of us to have a life message in every area. We're going to talk about a few areas tonight specifically for his glory and his purposes. Our problems, please get this, and these are not, this is not in your notes, but I'm reading from my own notes. Our problems are God's opportunities to show himself strong and to give us a life message to share with others about how great things the Lord has done for us. And by the way, that's what our campaign is called. Go and tell. And what is it? Go and tell, of course, first the gospel to the lost. But I don't know about you, but when I knock on doors, I'm always meeting a Christian that's out there that's been away from God. Let's go and tell them how great things God has done for us. And again, Sunday night I challenged our church, and I want to challenge us again. Let's walk with God, and let's get God's hand on our life so that God is working it. We know God's working in our lives, but so that we have a life message to share with others. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, you don't need to turn there because of time. After Paul had asked the Lord three times, to remove the thorn in the flesh, in verse 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. And you say, I'm weak tonight. Well, God wants to give his strength if you're weak. Then Paul, then it says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We read Sunday night, 2 Chronicles 16:9, when Asa, of course, God did a great thing in Asa's life and God's people in taking care of the million-man army. And then he's coming against another foe, and he's beginning to bend in the flesh. And we read in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong, to show himself, what class? Can you say strong? Strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Look at number one. We're not going to look at these verses. I'm going to get down to point number four. The Lord desires a pastor to have a life message. This is in your outline. The Lord desires a pastor to have a life message in his own house. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:1 to 7. And I'm going to read here a little bit. I'll spend a few minutes on this. We want to get down to verse point four in a minute. Our ability with God's power and help to lead our family and solve problems in our family helps us greatly to help others. This is our family life message. Now, come up, Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie's not a pastor, but he's assistant, what's your title?
Brother Bex.
He's Brother Beck's. Okay, he's Brother Beck's assistant. Now, he's not a pastor, but this is, there's one primary interpretation. There's many applications, but this is what God's saying. Listen, what God says, listen, if you can't take care of your own house, how are you going to rule the house of God? And really what he's saying is what you need to do is you need to have a life message in your home. Your ability to have God's mind and get God's mind from his word, to learn how to get along with your wife, and then learn how to raise up little Charlie Jr., what you're doing in your family with God's help, you're getting a life message in your family, and now you can go share it with the church. Okay, you can be seated. Let's look on. Next little bubble. Problem solving and leading our family are our credentials as pastors. Now again, it's not just pastors, but he's speaking specifically here to pastors, to lead God's people. Now look, my wife, where's my wife? She's in the nursery. She's on the patio. Okay? My wife, are you out there, Mary? Now look, if you knew, I shouldn't say if you knew, but it's not, if you thought, or if you knew and thought, that my wife and I were fighting all the time, okay? You know, we pull up over Albertsons, and there you are. You're watching it. How many have ever watched a public argument, husband and wife? You ever watch that? Sure you have. You're saying, I saw one last night, my mom and dad. But my wife and I, we pull out of Albertsons, and you know, I walk ahead of her, and she's sitting there in the car, and she opens the door, and I'm 25 feet ahead of her, and you're looking, you're going, oh, my soul, is that the pastor? And I look at her, and psh, sort of give her the look, and she goes, psh. Guess what? You're not going to want to follow me. But if my wife, and by the way, if you've been around her 24 years, I have a wonderful wife. We have a wonderful marriage. We really do. We and my best friend's my wife. And I don't just say that because I'm supposed to say it. I mean that. I still have 7 children at home. I look forward to the day when all the kids are out. Serious. Now, I'm enjoying it now. You say, why? Because I have to. I can't complain about it. But I'm looking forward to the day when they're all gone. You say, why? Man, I get all the time with my wife in the home, and we can sit there and we can eat together, and I don't have to, you know, I shouldn't say it, correct. How many of you correct your children at the dinner table? Get your elbows off the table, okay? Come on now. And, you know, all that type of stuff. But you know, God's saying, listen, pastors, get a life message at home. Get God's blessing on your marriage. Get God's blessing on your child rearing. He says, listen, if you can't rule your own house, how are you going to rule the church of God? Okay? And so the Lord desires for a pastor to have a life message. Now, look at, by the way, I don't know where the line is drawn here, but I had a friend, still, I haven't seen him for a while. Actually, he helped us when we first started the church. And the home, we got more homeschool people than we've ever had. And we homeschooled our family, our children for years. This isn't anti-homeschool comment, but just the fact is, this pastor homeschooled his children, and he had 2 children, and good man, real good guy, and his first son, he didn't really have much influence. Other than his family, and by the way, that's good influence. Your parents, that's the best influence. But something happened, and by the way, parents, do this. You have the influence of your children, but you want to invite some godly people into your family. But invite them. When I say invite them, what I mean is don't let it be circumstantial. Oh, they like so-and-so. I don't care who they like. They better be someone that's godly, or we're going to make them not like them. Okay, don't let circumstances dictate who your children get close to. Really, kids didn't have any friends other than mom and dad, and that's good. Something happened, and we've given the illustration. You know, you got the youth pastor, and you got mom, and you got dad, and then you got the pastor, and you know, maybe you got the coach, and so. But the people they were close to was an uncle and aunt that weren't saved. And all of a sudden, the relationship with Cattywampus, and boom, as soon as the 17-year-old graduated from his home school, he ran off to another, the girl first, ran off to a distant city. I know the city, I won't say the city, here in California. And in a year, she started living with a guy, got pregnant. And it broke his heart, but he's still a pastor of the church. And then the son, 1 or 2 years later, unbelievable, same thing. By the way, I told, is Eric here tonight? Is Eric here? Eric here? Eric? Where's Eric? No, not that Eric. The bigger Eric. Hi, Eric. Nice to see you. You're right there. Is Eric? He's working. I was walking over from my house, a new college student, Eric, and I talked to him a little bit. I said, hey, how you doing? And I got to know him and ask him about his brothers and sisters. And I said, how many brothers and sisters? I said, are you the firstborn? He said, yes. He wasn't sure what I was talking about. So you're the firstborn? I said, yes. I said, you know God gives you a special blessing. He got his eyes real big. I said, oh, yeah. You're a big influence. All you, how many firstborn boys out there? Firstborn boys, okay? You have a big influence in your family. Guys, I don't know what's going on back there, but it's okay. But anyway, so the firstborn girl, she messed up, and then the boy did the same thing, ran off. And my pastor friend, I don't know what I would advise him. He didn't ask me for my advice, so it's none of my business. He resigned his church. He resigned. And so what God's saying is get a life message as a pastor. Then look at number two. The Lord, and we're not looking at the verses tonight. The verses are right there. The Lord desires deacons to have a life message in his own house. That's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 8:8-13. By the way, we have Brother McCollum. He's going to come here. You say, what are we doing? We're training the deacons. We're training the deacons candidates. Okay? Number three, much, and this is really the point I want to get from these first two points, much of our leadership in church should come from a life message in our home. The scripture about deacons and pastors, its primary interpretation, there are many different applications. One application would be ministry leaders seek God's wisdom and blessing on your family. Then you can let others know what God has done, what God has done, what who has done, can you say God? What God has done in your family to help others. I met with somebody in recent weeks, good man in our church, wonderful man in our church, and I said, and he has a desire, to, a specific desire, a specific ministry, and I said, brother, what I want to do, and it's good, he has a good marriage, I said, what I want to do is I want to help you with your family. I said, your credentials for ministry, he's not a staff, I said, your credentials for ministry is your family. Your credentials for ministry is your marriage. So your credentials for ministry is how your children are getting along and how you're getting along with your children. And are, do they have a desire to walk with God? Look at number four. And I'm going to spend a few extra minutes here on number four and number five. The Lord desires us to have a life message at work. Okay? Now, let's look over to Genesis 39, verse 23. We saw, you say, where's Joseph? He's at work. Look at verse 21. The Lord desires us to have a life message at work. Verse 21 of chapter 39 of Genesis. But the Lord was with Joseph. Man, I love those. I love that phrase. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper. And, of course, now he's in prison. You know the story. Potiphar's wife was ungodly. And she lied about Joseph. He's thrown into prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph, committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison and whatsoever they did. There he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything. You know what happened? Joseph is doing what he was doing in Potiphar's house, and now it's in prison. Remember Potiphar said? I don't even know what's going on. Joseph, you're in charge of everything. Same thing's happening. Again, verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, And that which he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Look at chapter 40, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward, the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. The Lord desires us to have a life message at work. Now, let's look up here just a moment. So what does that mean? We need to change this mindset of the secular and the sacred. Do you know when you go to work? You see, here's Joseph. He's over at Potiphar's house, but what did the Bible say? The Lord was with him. And then, where's John? John, and I like John, and I like him. Just don't get a big head. John gave a testimony in, was it when you gave the devotion at work, John's got a contractor. John's a towel setter. At work, he didn't have a boss. He has his own business. The guy that gets him a lot of his work, when he talks to the customers, he says, look, this guy is a phenomenal tile setter. But when he goes to work for you, you're going to hear him preach the gospel. So you're going to have to get the good tile and the gospel or you don't get him. I don't know how many people we've heard John, went, by the way, he owns his own business. That John has won to Christ at work. You see, here's Joseph, and the Bible says God's hand was on Joseph. God's hand was on Joseph as a son. God's hand was on Joseph as a servant in Potiphar's house, and then God's hand was on Joseph in jail. So the Lord desires to have a life message at work. We have our college students, okay? Don't get your some of our college students. They haven't worked in high school. Their first job Amy's a new convert from Monterey Park, and she's been saved. I want to say what about 2 years? Maybe about 2 years. Been saved about 2 years, and then she moved in the dorms, and then she got a job at Subway. She went in there and she asked them if she has her own dress standards, and she asked them, and I don't know what kind of uniform they wanted to have. I don't know what all the details were, but she asked if she could, you know, have her personal dress standards, and they let her do that. And then she worked very hard, and she had a real good spirit, and she's been there not very long. She's probably been there, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And you know what? They've asked her, they said something like this: are there any more like you? Can we get, I won't tell you what they said because I might get, well, he's a franchise owner. He owns like 5 Subways. And then they got one. She got one college girl job, and then she got 2 college girls a job, and then she got 3 college girls a job, and then she got 4 college girls. By the way, she's a manager now. How many jobs? 5 girls? Is there how many at Subway now? Is there 5 over there now? 5. We're taking over all the Subways in Long Beach. I said, Amy, do we get free Subway sandwiches? She said, no. Nick over here, Nick, of course, his dad's a pastor in Bakersfield. He moved down here a couple years ago. And what were you? Nick, you're just walking, applying for jobs? And would they like your smile or something? Would you go in there just say hi? And they said, how was that? Anyway, so some Chinese people, they hired him. Did you know any Chinese back then? No. Nick got the job there, did a real good job. And Nick was just a real faithful guy over here. And then Then you got who's the next person? Marcos. So he got Marcos a job because he was doing such a good job. Then they got Eric a job because he was doing such a good job. And then they got Chris a job. By the way, if you want a job, just go talk to our college students. They'll get you jobs. You say, what's the point? The point is this. God wants his hand of blessing, and he wants us to seek his hand of blessing, not just at church, not just when we're reading our Bible, but at work. Brother Joseph back there, and I don't know all the details of the story, but Brother Joseph has a heart for the Muslim people. And it's good, because probably right now not a lot of people do. So pray for Brother Joseph. I'm not saying us, but right now the world's not real happy, okay? And just in his workplace, come to find out, there was a man there, is a Christian, Egyptian guy, and Brother Joseph was at work and just being faithful, and come to find out, and Brother Joseph's studying about how to give the gospel to the Muslim people, and man, good for him, man, good for him. And next thing you know, it, Brother Joseph telling me the story, said, you know what, there's a Christian at work, and come to find out that he has an Arabic television station that goes to how many people? Oh, one of the smaller ones. 15 to 20, 30 million people. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to be on there. And Brother Joseph, sure enough, he sent me the clip, and there he was, given the gospel. You say, where did it happen? It happened at the workplace. And here's the point. God wants us to have a life. You know, we get the blessing of this story of Joseph. You say, why? Was he up in a pulpit somewhere preaching? No. Was he there studying his Bible? No. Where was he? He was at work. He was a slave to Potiphar's house. Then he's in the prison, but God's hand of blessing was on him. Let me say number five, and we're going to be done. Brother Oscar, why don't you come up here? Come on up, Oscar. The Lord desires us to have a life message during hard times. You can be seated, Brother Oscar. During hard times. We just read in Joseph's life, his brothers turned on him. Potiphar's wife turned on him. Didn't turn on him. Was immoral, had immoral, tried to make a pass at him. And then he sort of gets the raw end of the deal in prison. Church, let me say this tonight. You're going to have a hard time. Brother Board's not complaining, and he has a really good spirit. He's not asking me to do this or anything. He's having a hard time right now physically. They had to move when they're in Cambodia. And he messed his back up. I see him walking around here. I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to hide his pain. There's going to be pain. There's going to be. But you know what? That's when we can get really close to God. That's when we can really have a real life message. I've asked Brother Oscar. He shared it. Brother Oscar has two blind children. Handicap, different. I won't go into all the details. I probably couldn't tell you all the details. I remember Brother Oscar and Maggie were praying for and wanted their girl. How many boys did you have at that time? You had two, three. How many you got now? Six? Six total? And then one in heaven. Seven, right? They wanted their little girl, and they prayed for their girl. And Vivian. And Vivian was born, and Vivian was, she had a very fatal disease. She was born with a fatal disease, and she was very, very deformed, very deformed. And I remember, how old was she when she died? About 4 months old. And I remember, they told her she wasn't going to live, she's going to die. And so he has the two blind boys, and they're also handicapped in different ways. And then they had their third boy. They're all Oscar. Just say Oscar, and all of his kids turn their heads. And then So he had the two blind boys, handicapped. They're wonderful sons. Then Vivian, or then had their third boy, and then Vivian died. Okay, and they've had a couple more since then. And then Brother Oscar gets in this huge car accident. Brother Oscar's a truck driver. Used to be a truck driver. And you've heard the story. Some of you have. I won't go into all the details. He gets in, 2 o'clock in the morning? What time was it? 3:30 in the morning. Where were you out at 3:30 in the morning? You're driving a truck, right? Coming back from work. And he gets hit by a car, and he's stuck in his car. He's stuck in his car. And he's stuck on the freeway, and he can't get out. When you're on the freeway at 3:30 in the morning, someone's going to come and whack you. And the story is, I'm not sure if I believe it. If Maggie told us, I'd believe it, but Oscar told us. And he's stuck, and he's thinking, I'm going to die in this car. I'm stuck. He can't get out. And someone shows up at his car, and he told me this. He told the whole church this, and pulled him out of the car. And he looked on the T-shirt, and it said, man sent from God. Is that what it said? Have you seen that guy since? You know who he is? Okay. And then someone hit your car, right? He got out, pulled him out, and then, bam, someone hit his car. Did that guy disappear? And the truck that hit your car took off. How about the man sent from God? Where'd he go? He took off. Maybe on the angels unaware. Who knows? But I always say this. Brother Oscar, then, so he's handicapped. He's got two handicapped children. He's handicapped. His wife's not handicapped, okay? Then his wife ends up in the hospital like a couple weeks ago. But here's the thing. They don't separate the sacred from the secular. They look at everything in their life as like God's in control. And they have, when we talk about life message, Brother Oscar and Maggie have a wonderful life message. Brother, I've asked Brother Oscar just to come up here and share a few things. He gave a testimony Sunday morning. I was not here, so he might share a little bit about that. But I just want him to share a little bit about his life and then just some recent things. And he can go on here for 20 minutes, but we'll get the landing gear down real fast. But why don't you come up, Brother Oscar? Why don't you share a little bit?
Well, as Pastor mentioned, I've been out of a typical job since 2007 due to that accident he was mentioning. However, God has allowed me to continue to stay faithful financially to the church. I mean, I've still been able to give my tithes, still been able to give to the building fund, to the missions, to patch, to their Sunday school class, and miscellaneous other needs that arise in church. Our family lacks nothing. In fact, we have just way more than what we need. Like the AMPN commercial, just way too much good stuff. I mentioned that I'm able to give to various ministry, but also I have been able to give my talents to our church. We have decided, ever since we have decided to make this our church, one way we have done, given our talents is by helping in the church. A church that is this big and active will always need people's time, money, and talents. And it seems that the more family gives of ourselves to our church, the more God gives to us to share. For the past few years, I have been able to train several men in our church to drive a bus. Driving a bus is something very simple, but it takes a while to train someone to drive the bus. It also takes some time to take them to the DMV, get all their license and stuff. I think I got to thinking, because I have been blessed with a lot of extra time, I have been able to give some of it to a much needed training. Another example that I see ever, you know, since we have decided to stay faithful in our church, is God has provided for our family. Three of our children are attending Pacific Baptist Church this year, and a school. And like I mentioned last Sunday, the whole bill is paid for. And you figure, you say, well, how is it possible? My wife, she stays at home. You know, I have a small business. I work out of my garage, and you know, it's slowly but surely is growing. And you say, well, how is it that the school bill is paid for? Well, I believe that God. Well, actually, I received several payments that from some of the sales that I had, and I just, God seems to be putting customers in my path that they're looking for the items that I sell, and they're so thankful that I sell them my overpriced items, and they ask me if I have any more stuff to sell to them. Now, Eliza,
well, Oscar, are you saying your whole school bills pay the for the
whole,
semester?
The whole school bill for the three children.
For the whole semester?
No, the whole year.
The whole year?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about that business? Just kidding. Don't do that. We don't have time. Wow. I want to end on that.
Well, now life has, for us has been a bit complicated since we became members of Pacific Baptist Church. We had we held our daughter's funeral here in our auditorium. I had my car accident about, you know, 4 years ago. Our children have experienced some very scary health conditions, and of course, we have our two blind boys, like Pastor mentioned. But don't feel sorry for us. God has made our lives incredibly joyful. Amen. Through these circumstances. We have been able to continue to serve in this church and enjoy being part of this family. Being involved in ministry through our trials has allowed us to rely on God and the goodness of God through the church people. We have seen so many of you come to our aid in our time of need, like when we are spoiled for a whole week after my wife has given birth. I mean, we have barbecue ribs, chicken Alfredo, steak, and creamy mashed potatoes, Taco Bell. Come on. There are only a few things that have been brought to us. Recently, my wife, like Pastor mentioned, she had surgery, and our Sunday school class gave us a week of meals. It's just been a great blessing. I told her, you know, you should go and donate a kidney next. You know, I believe that this blessing is because, as a family, we believe in tithing and everything, and have never stopped doing so. It's not because God, we are a good Christian, because we are not. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. But I think just God has, you know, we stay faithful with God through our trials, and God will, you know, will meet our needs, will provide for us, and we're just so thankful for that. God has overflowed us with many good things from heaven. I have a great wife who loves me, five amazing kids, boys, and they are a joy to be with, and a sweet little girl that takes my breath away. And we have many generous church friends who love us, and we love spending time with them. And, you know, I have thought about, you know, all this, you know, you could say trials, but I see them as blessing. I get to spend more time with my wife, with my kids, in church ministry, and it's been wonderful, just staying faithful to God.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Oscar's just like Joseph. Oscar took what God has allowed in his life, and he said, "Hey, let's see what God can do, and let's see what God can do, whether it's trials with family and physical and the boys, or it's, you know, then comes the big accident." By the way, hang out with Brother Oscar, okay? And he did a good job up here. He's not an orator. He's not teaching homiletics in the Bible college, amen. But him and his wife have a walk with God, and And he's not in full-time ministry. Anything we ask him to do, he's trained many of our bus drivers. A month from tonight, and I'm done. Brother Suter is going to be with us. He'll be preaching 12 messages. I didn't know Brother Suter well. I met him, and then I've read his book. I talked to him on the phone before. We've had a counseling appointment. Actually, some of our staff had counseling appointments with him, helping people. And so I said, you know, he's going to be here. He's going to be in the college, and he's going to be here in the church and be in Monterey Park. He'll speak 12 times. And so I said, I want to listen to him, okay? You know, I want to make sure I read his book. It seemed doctrinally sound. And so I listened to 26 of his messages. We ordered 31 and listened to 26 of his messages. And let me even say this. I don't think there's, Brother Ray, just a couple of our people just came back from a conference at North Valley. I don't think there's been a conference. I'm definitely not a sermon. There's not been a book. There's not been a class that has helped me personally as a Christian, as a husband, and really more so as a pastor than what I've had the last 2 weeks, just listening to all those sermons, giving me great insight. And really, the bottom line is God wants to get to the root of our problem, and that's what he really emphasizes. And we're always cutting the leaves, you know. We're always up here just getting the leaves out. But here's the point. His ministry is a phenomenal ministry. He's a great. He was a pastor for 25 years, and he'll be here, and he'll preach on spiritual warfare here, and some things in the counseling in the college, and then some marriage at Monterey Park. But here's the thing. Phenomenal ministry. But please get this. We're done. But life message. His ministry, that he's an evangelist now. His ministry, he was a pastor, but his ministry was birthed out of a horrific, horrific trial in his life. Now, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned what happened to his daughter, okay? And I'm not going to rehearse it, what happened to his daughter. His daughter was molested when she was 5 years old. But really, the whole story, what happened to his daughter, it's much worse what happened to his life. Anyone I know personal, it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But here's the point. He had a choice. He could have got bitter at God. I don't give the story because I don't know if he gives the story publicly. He could have got bitter at God. There's several people he could have got bitter at. But you know what his horrific time did? It helped him get closer to God. And now he has a life message. His huge trial, just like Joseph, we have this wonderful story from God's word about Joseph, that whether it's a Job or it's a Joseph or it's a David, and we look at their story and what God did did in and through them during their horrific time, now they have a life message. And here it is, folks. Don't allow the problems in your life to get away and not let God help you in that problem. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.